I just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen.
Okay, so the title of my message is Know Your Playbook. Okay? So what is a playbook? A playbook, I'm going to use a reference as for football because that's what I know, okay? And so a playbook has plays in it, and it has strategies against your opponent, okay? And the playbook is going to have plays for your position and all the other positions, okay? So you're going to know what everybody else is doing, and it's all going to mesh together and go hopefully perfectly well, okay? So, and I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go, I'm going to read it because I want to make a point. We're going to read from 12 all the way to 31, okay? So, for as the body is one and has many members, and I'm reading from New King James Version, okay? But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. It's going to say this several times, okay? Not one, but many, okay? If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, which is division, in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all workers of miracles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So, excuse me. There's many parts to the body, but you're still one body. Each one of you has a place to play in this body. You have gifts. You serve in different ways. And when a part of the body is missing, the body knows. Okay? The body feels it. So, you all have gifts. They're not all the same. Okay? There's some things, and not one gift is more important than the other. Okay? So, you know, pastors, preaching is not more important than the gift of serving, maybe in cleaning the church. That's an important part. If somebody wasn't here cleaning the church, what do you think would happen? You would walk in and you'd be like, ugh. It would stink because the trash wasn't taken out. You would run your hand across something and get dirt everywhere. Okay, there would be trash all over the floor, all these little flecks. Okay, and some people may not see it, but, you know, there's others like me and Pastor that, you know, we can see a speck from a mile away. But, so, when your gift is not more important than another person's gift. Okay? And when you're not here, you're missed. Okay? So, that leads me to the second scripture that I have is 1 Peter 5. And we're going to go 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So he's not just after you. He's after everybody. Okay. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, or a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so when you came to know Christ, does it ever say that you will never have another problem ever again? No. No, it doesn't. Okay, you're still going to have trials. You're still going to have a little bit of suffering. You may suffer for a little while. It doesn't say you'll suffer forever, and it doesn't say you'll never suffer. Okay, you're still going to have problems come up. Satan's still going to attack because you're serving. Okay, you're a child of God, and he doesn't want you to triumph. He doesn't want you to do what you're supposed to do. Okay? So he's going to attack. All right? And that comes to why I'm saying know your playbook. Because Satan doesn't attack one way all the time. Okay? He's going to attack you, and it's going to be within your gifting. Okay? He's going to attack you. So maybe you serve in singing. He's going to attack you in those ways. Okay, one thing that I brought up last time or Wednesday night was one of the things, my problems is I have a fear of inadequacy. Okay, so, you know, in those things where like singing or preaching, teaching, whatever it is that I do, it's okay. He's going to amen it. Okay. Inadequacy. Okay, so he's going to attack me in the ways of saying, you're not smart. That's not good enough. You didn't study long enough. That's just dumb. Okay, so, and it also may be that somebody comes to you and says something, and they didn't even mean it the way that they said it, but Satan's going to take it in here, and he's going to flip you and say, they think you're stupid. And I'm going to be like, excuse me, what did you say to me? I am not stupid. Okay, me and Brandon have had those talks. Because... But, you know, it's not.
I learned a long time ago not to say duh. That's
yo, long, yo long you don't say duh ago. To me. Okay. Yeah, no. Don't you dare say duh. Mm-mm. No, and it's not because he's trying to be ugly to me. He has a way that he has done things all his life. That's his personality. That's his characteristics. Okay. So the way he thinks is not the way I think. And so he's like, why didn't you not know that? And I'm like, excuse me? I am not dumb. He's like, that's not what I was saying. Okay, so Satan can turn things because he knows your weaknesses. He knows what's going to flip your switch, okay? He knows, and that's how he's going to attack you. Okay, it's not just going to be one way all the time. It's going to be within your giftings and within your calling, okay? Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, it's when, okay, let's just read it. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. What happened there was Satan tempted Jesus according to his calling. Jesus was here to save the world. He was here to help all of us. And Satan tempted him and tried to get him to not do those things. Okay? He tried to get him to not be the Son of God, to save the world. Okay, so I'm going to read something here. It's not my words. I got it from Facebook from a friend. I don't know who the author is, okay? But it spoke volumes to me. If you are called to mend the brokenhearted, you're going to wrestle with brokenheartedness. If you are called to prophesy, you're going to struggle to control your mouth. If you are called to lay hands, you're going to struggle with spiritual viruses. If you are called to preach and teach the gospel, you will be sifted for wisdom that anoints your message. Sift means to examine something thoroughly so as to isolate that which is most important or useful. If you are called to empower, your self-esteem will be attacked. Your successes will be hard fought. Your calling will come with cups, thorns, and sifting that are necessary for your mantle to be authentic, humble, and powerful. Your crushing won't be easy because your assignment is not easy. Your oil is not cheap. Amen. He's going to come at you within your calling. Within your gifts. If you know your playbook, okay, you know the armor. We put on the armor. Every day we put on the armor, okay? Because that's how we're going to fight him. We're going to know our playbook. Know how he's going to come at you. If you know that ahead of time, the second it happens, you'll be able to be like, nope, not today, Satan. Not today. You got the wrong person. You got the wrong person. Okay? And so, knowing our playbook, and this, you know, what I said Wednesday, this is not only just for you. When you know your playbook, it's the whole team. Okay? It's the whole body. Within our church, Okay? So that whenever you can look over and you see that Satan's attacking that person, you can go over there and you can stand beside them. Okay? And you can help them fight. Okay? And that's it.
Come on. Come on, come on. Woo! Anointed. That's powerful. Amen. Know Your Playbook Part 2. That was good. That was good. Hallelujah. Let me get to my notes here. You know, Amber, I asked her yesterday. I said, don't you need to be going over your notes? She's like, no. I'm like, hallelujah. Know your playbook. Man, we got to know our playbook. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy every aspect of our calling. He wants to destroy our families, our marriages. Come on, we got to know the playbook. We got to know the playbook. Look at your neighbor and tell me, you got to know the playbook. You got to know the playbook. Man, I'm telling you, you got to know the playbook. I'm telling you, you have a purpose here in the body of Christ. You are important to the body of Christ. You are value. Come on, we talked about that last week. You are value. Come on, when you're not here, you're missed. It doesn't matter what you do here in this ministry. If you don't have a title, it doesn't matter. You just being here, having your smile, being here, I'm telling you, you are a blessing. Amen. You are important to this body. Amen. Amen. You are value. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're not. Just because you don't have a quote-unquote title doesn't mean anything. Come on. You are just as valuable as the ones that do. Come on, amen. We're in this thing together. Hallelujah. I want to read some scripture here, and I want to get into part two of this. I want to get into the playbook a little bit more in it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's put that up there. This is going to be a key scripture that I'm going to read several times. We'll do it that way. Got it? Hallelujah. I got the same version though this time, I think. New King James. All right. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work. Being steadfast. Come on. Listen, I want to talk about three areas, three C's that the Lord brought to my heart about knowing your playbook. And we touched on it last week about condemnation. Oh my gosh, condemnation is rampant in the church. The guilt, the shame of everybody's past. We already realized, we talked about it last week, that everybody in this room has got problems, right? Yes. Come on, we determined that Brother Charlie was probably the worst of everybody. He's got the biggest of the longest list. Okay, we already determined that. Brother Charlie's still there. I don't know about that. We already determined that. Come on. But we talked about that. We all have our problems. Amen. But the enemy wants to tell us that you have got problems and you can never be. I want to just share, I just want to touch on this just for a minute. Share one thing, another passage of scripture about this, because this has been heavy, heavy on my heart this week. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus is out there preaching to, and the Pharisees come in with this woman that was caught in the middle of adultery. And they come in there and say, well, she was caught in the middle of adultery. Jesus, what are we going to do? And Jesus goes in there and looks at the situation and goes down and starts writing in the sand. It comes up and says, you know, whoever's got no sin, why don't you cast the first stone? And then all the Pharisees, everybody starts dropping their stones. And while he's doing that, he goes back down and draws in the sand and comes back up. Now, what he drew in the sand is not a huge factor in the story. There's a lot of different things that different variables, lots of preachings about what he wrote. It's not in the book what it's actually in there, so it's not significant. What's significant is what he says next. Okay? Jesus, verse 10 says, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? 11, no one, sir, she said, neither do I condemn you. Jesus declares, go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus didn't condemn that. Come on, he didn't condemn her. He didn't say, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you failed like this. Look, here's what we're going to do. Here's 7 points of how we're going to restore this. This is what's going to happen. He just said, go and sin no more. Yeah. Stop that. Let's focus. Okay. I'm not condemning you. He didn't come here to condemn the world. The Lord wanted me to bring this up because somebody needed to hear this, and I needed to hammer this again about condemnation, because he knows everybody in this room is not perfect. You're not the perfect parent. You're not the perfect spouse. Come on. And you have a gifting that God's wanting to use, so use it. Come on. He set you free. Act like it. Amen. Amen. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. You got to know what this word says. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop looking back. See, there's a lot of condemnation in the church. There's a lot of guilt and shame. You know what happens with the condemnation is? It's condemnation is you looking at you. You looking at sin, your eyes directed at this. That's truth, and we're going to come back to that. Hallelujah. Second thing I want to talk to you about, the second C is this, compromise. There's a lot of compromise in the church today. Listen, I'm preaching because... And Amber, this word is a right on word, because I'm telling you, God is wanting to do something in your life. He's wanting to bring revival to America like nobody's business, because it needs it. And the church needs to rise up, as we're off over here looking at all our playing pity parties because we got all this condemnation on us, looking at the guilt. Oh, I've messed up too much. Yeah. You're free. Act like it. Amen. Your coworkers need the God that's inside of you. Your family needs the God that's inside of you. Your kids need the God that's inside of you. Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Compromise. There's too much compromise in the church. The Word of God says, be steadfast, immovable, unshakable. Right. Hallelujah. I want to tell you a story. This is exactly how the enemy works. I've shared this story before, but it's just an absolutely perfect example of how the enemy works. It's my duck story. So the Indians, how they hunted duck. Let me tell you this, okay? They would put, now I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again because it's important. So they have these ducks down the river. And so these Indians get these melons, pumpkins, watermelons, whatever it is, okay? They put these melons in the river and float them downstream. These ducks see the melons and see this, and they freak out like, no, that's not normal. And they all fly off, okay? Then they come back. Indians do it again. They come back, and they put those melons down the river, up the river, and it goes down, and the duck sees it. About 85% of them this time sees those melons. Oh! And a couple of them like, oh, okay, that's... Okay, the next thing, they do it again. Fewer fly off, till none of them fly off when they see those things. What do those Indians do now? Once they all stay there, they carve it out, stick it on their heads, go down there and get them some ducks. But that's exactly what the enemy does to us. Little compromises, little things. Well, this movie isn't really that bad. Come on. This little thing isn't that bad. This demonic movie, oh, it's only PG-13, so it's real. It's not that bad.
Come on.
This music that I'm listening to, it's not that bad. Compromise. 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 Oh, I'm going to preach on this one now. I'm going to say something. You know, my mom and dad, you know, back in the day, your parents were extremely adamant about you being at church. My parents, man, they made me go to church, period. If I was sick, I was going to church. I was going to church, period. Because see what happens? I'm going to preach. What happens is when you begin to compromise and begin to say, oh, it's not that important. It's okay to miss one Sunday. The Word of God says, don't neglect the gathering together. Don't neglect it. But see what happens? The enemy wants to get you laxed and compromising in this. He wants to say, you know what? Church is not that important. It's not that valuable. So what happens is you miss one Sunday. And then the next Sunday, you find another reason not to be here. And then another reason next Sunday. So next you know you're gone for a month or 2 months. And then you're thinking, man, I don't even want to show up because I haven't been for so long. Yeah, I'm preaching this quiet. It's okay. Listen, there's too much compromise in the church. Across the board. Too much compromise. The Word of God says, be steadfast, immovable, unshakable. That's what this playbook says. Don't neglect coming together. Come on. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to destroy you, wants to destroy your family, wants to come after your kids. Stop compromising. Stop allowing the enemy in your house, on your TV.
Absolutely.
Come on. Stop compromising. Listen, I'm not innocent. I've got things. I've watched things. I'm not sitting there trying to say I'm perfect. I'm not. Not by any stretch of the means. I try, though. I try. Come on. God has wanted to do something. There's a world that needs God more today than ever before.
Amen.
We've got to rise up and be the church. Come on, amen. I'm so serious about this. There's so much compromise in the church today. Amen. Well, this is okay. I'm okay with this. What does God say about it? This brings me to my last thing is this. You know, let me point out one thing too. America's compromised.
Oh, yes.
And we saw it a long time ago. Yes. In 1952, you know what began to come out? Playboy, pornography, being published. 10 years later, you know what happened? The Bible and prayer was taken out of school. You know what happened 10 years later? Abortion. Roe versus Wade. We see this progression of compromise. And we see where the world is now because of compromise. And you see, we see the world, we see where the world is even with the church, where the church is because of compromise.
That's right.
Homosexuality. There's some justice. There's some. No, it's not. There's no wiggle room.
That's right.
Call sin, sin. It's sin. Enemy wants to call confusion on our kids.
Yes, they do.
With their sexual identity.
Yes.
Enemies attacking left and right. Stop compromising.
Amen.
God gave that child exactly their identity. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. Stop compromising. As a parent, don't compromise. We love those kids, but don't compromise. Don't compromise.
Mm.
Compromising puts our eyes on self. Compromising puts eyes on this and sin and this. All these other things. Compromise. Condemnation puts eyes on this. Self. And that brings me to my third thing and the most important thing that the church is lacking. So there's a lot of condemnation in the church, and there's a lot of...
Come on.
There's a lot of compromise. But man, there is such a lack of conviction in the church.
That's right.
Be steadfast.
Yeah.
Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Always.
Come on, Ruth, we're wrapping this thing up. What is conviction? It's being steadfast in what you believe in the Word of God.
Yes.
Being immovable, being unshakable, being like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing and stepping into the fire no matter what. I'm unshakable. I've got a conviction that's unquenchable. Come on. That's not going to be stopped. I know I stand on the Word of God, and He's going to be with me no matter what. Come on, amen. I'm going to get into the fire. I may stand by myself. I may be alone in it, but I'm going to stand in it. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I've got convictions. Come on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, when they came after him to stop praying, what did he do? Did he stop praying? Did he bow down to it? Did he say, oh, you know what? You know, that's everybody else is doing it, so not doing it. So I'm going to go ahead and just conform to what everybody else is doing because, well, that's just, no. His conviction said, I'm not about to stop praying. I'm not about to stop and conform. I'm not about to give in. I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And he faced the lions and God protected him. God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was there in the fire. Hallelujah. See, the enemy wants us to feel like we're alone in all this. You're not alone. He said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you when you're standing up and doing what you're called to do. I'm going to be there with you. Hold fast to your conviction. Stop compromising. Stephen held fast to his conviction when being faced of being stoned. And he was stoned. And so many people have held fast to their convictions up to the very last breath. And here we are today as Christians, and we get upset and we lose our ever-loving mind if our waiter or waitress is late. And they mess up our food. We can lose our ever-loving mind. I've seen it. We lose our ever-loving mind if the pastor preaches something or preaches too long or says something that's out of line that, oh, it steps on toes, and we lose your ever-loving mind. See, conviction puts our eyes on God. All this other stuff puts our eyes on self. Our eyes have got to be on the Father. So how do we get a stronger conviction for God's Word, the playbook? How do we get there? From where we're at right now, how do we get to that stronger conviction of really feeling a conviction when we turn on the TV of what we're actually really watching? How do we get that conviction of when we turn on the radio of listening to of what we're actually listening to, being convicted of what we're actually listening to? What about being convicted for the lost? When was the last time when you're walking through the grocery store at a restaurant when your heart was being so tugged and so pulled because you know that person's lost? When was the last time you were so convicted that you felt like you had to go up and share the gospel with them? When was the last time you were so convicted there to do that? How do we get there? It's called intimacy with the Father. It's called intimacy with the Father. See, when we get and we start reading this playbook, Paul says, and may my prayer is that you get to know God better. You get to know Him. Because see, when we get to know God and we get intimate with the Father, that conviction even gets stronger. And God begins to reveal things in our lives that we need to work on. Conviction for what we're watching, conviction for what we're listening to, conviction for what we're putting in our bodies. Hallelujah. Conviction for what we're putting in our bodies. Conviction for what we're putting in our bodies. There's a lot of things out there. And the more we read this, and the more we study this playbook, God reveals things in our lives that we need to be working on. And we get heavier convictions. I had a buddy of mine, I remember it so vividly, it stood out to me like crazy. Years ago as a teenager, Pete and a bunch of our friends, we went out, we were all getting ready, we were going to go see a movie. We were all super excited about it. And this movie we've been wanting to watch, and we're all getting ready, and we're all walking out, and he stops. He's walking out. We're going to this movie. We're all excited. We're going to this. He just stops and just says, "I can't go." Well, like, why can't you go, Pete? Now, the movie wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad movie. He said, "You know, I just can't go. I feel like the Lord's wanting me to stay here and be with him." That stood out to me. Because when was the last time you stopped schedules, you stopped things, even for me? I'm convicted with that, man, to be with the Father. And move things around to be with the Father and read his book and get intimate with him. And get to know this playbook even more. Because I'm telling you, this thing changes our lives. Conviction is where growth comes from. Conviction is where growth comes from. Come on, listen. I preach, this has been so heavy on my heart. Because you need to know something. You need to understand the times that we are living in. You need to get that around your brain, between your ears, that we are living in the end times. I mean, it's broadcasted everywhere. You're blind if you can't see it. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. We are in the end times. Tell you, God is coming back for his bride. And there's going to be a moment that every single one of us is going to face Jesus face to face. Matthew, Jesus says, you know what? A lot of people are going to say, "Lord, Lord." A lot of people are going to say, "I prophesied in your name." And Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." So there's a lot of people that play patty cake at church. That compromise. Hold on to guilt, hold on to shame, hold on to all kinds of things. And not dive into knowing and getting into a relationship with the Father and really truly knowing him. You're too busy with life, you're too busy with trying to look the part. Look, I'm going to be real with you. Coming to church is not going to get you saved. Playing, clapping your hands, singing a song is not what's going to get you to heaven. It's not. It's relationship with the Father. Through Jesus Christ, that's what gets us to heaven. Relationship with the Father. It's in the playbook. It's called relationship with the Father. Church, we've got to learn to get before the Father. We got to get before the Father. We got to be steadfast, immovable, unshakable. And how we do that is we get into this word. We get and know the playbook. Stop compromising. Ask God. God, show me. Is there areas that I'm compromising in my life right now? Are there areas that I'm compromising? You know how to find that out? Start cutting out some things. Find out how strong of a struggle it is to stop it.
That's right.
Cut out sugars.
Help me, Lord.
Find out how hard it is. Cut out the phone for a week. Cut out TV for a week. Find out what kind of God you got going on. That's in your life, that's overpowering, that you're compromising in. Begin to ask the Father, "God, give me a heavier conviction."
Amen.
See, I want a heavier conviction for the lost. And I'm telling you, I've been praying that for quite some time now. And I promise you, man, I get the heaviest pull sometimes to go and share some people. I mean, the Lord just tugs at my heart so incredibly heavy. And I try to do my best, and sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I don't. I just try to get after and do everything I can. I'm so far from perfect. But gosh darn it, I try. I keep running the race that God set before me. I do it for my family. I want a conviction for my family. I want a conviction for my marriage. I want a conviction for my church, man. I want a conviction. I want God to convict me and mold me into everything He wants for me, because I want to be used by Him. I want Him to use the gifts that He's placed in my life. I want to run the race that God set before me. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Father, right now I pray for a heavy conviction in this church, God. A conviction for You, Father, a hunger and thirst for You, Jesus. Your word said, blessed are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, God. God, I pray for a hunger and a thirst for You, Jesus, in this church, God. God, I pray for a hunger and a thirst for You, Jesus, more than ever before, Father. Father, that we would run our race that You set before us, God. That we wouldn't be held back by condemnation or compromise, God. But we would have such a heavy conviction, God. That You would mold us and teach us and show us, God, areas that we've been compromising in, Father. That we may not see. Father, show us and reveal Your truth to us in Your playbook, Father. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Come on, ministry team, come on up here. Hallelujah. Pastor, come on up here. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Let God be God in your life. Let God be God in your life. He wants you to experience heaven now. He wants you to experience joy now. And He wants to see you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, when you breathe your last breath. And every single one of us in this room today will face Jesus face to face. Whether you want to shove it under a rock or push it to the side, it's the truth anyways. You're going to see Jesus face to face. Your parents can't get you to heaven. Your relationship, you're coming to church, doesn't get you to heaven. Come on, amen. It's about relationship with a Father and having that intimacy with the Lord. It's not about trying to play around and try to look like something and try to play and patty cake about church. It's about being real with the Father. We all have problems. We all have issues. We all got things going in our lives, and God knows it. He just wants to get up in with you. He wants to be in your heart. He wants to be the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life. Come on. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so we can have life now. We got to have hope right now. We can have joy right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And man, this world needs God. Your family needs God. Your kids needs God. Come on. Your marriage needs God. Hallelujah. We need Him more today than ever before. Come on, right now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I want you to, we're going to invite Him in your heart. We're going to pray a prayer corporately today. Oh, we're going to get real with God today. I want everybody to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I repent of all my sins. I'm messed up. I need You. I need You more today than ever before. God, I invite You in my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Wash me clean today. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Father, do Your work in this place today. All eyes closed. I want you to just get before the Father today.
Come on, you got some needs in your life. You got some things going on in your life. Come on, I want you to bring it up to the Father. Father, we need you. Father, show me, convict me on how to deal with these situations, Father. Reveal your truth to me, Father. Hallelujah. God, we need you. Come on, if you've been struggling with condemnation, you've been struggling with compromise, and you want a heavier conviction, you want God to reveal more to you in your life, in your marriage, we want to pray for you. God wants to do something in your life today, in your marriage, in your family. Come on, we all got things going on in our lives. We all need Jesus. Come on, amen. Don't let today go by. God wants to do something in you, in your marriage. If that's you today, would you come to this front? Would you be bold and say, God, I need you. I want a fresh conviction in my life. I want fresh vision in my life, God. I want a conviction, God, for the lost. I want a conviction, God. I've been struggling with this addiction. I've been struggling with this addiction, and I want a conviction for it, God. To stop it. To stop with this tobacco addiction. To stop with the alcohol addiction. To stop with the pornography addiction. I want a heavier conviction, Father. Because we could sit there, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to try. I'm going to do better. That's not going to do it. It's getting you before the Father and handing it over to God and say, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. I need a heavier conviction. Come on, amen. Hallelujah.